Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Chav Ches. We left off on daf Chav Zayin and Beis with 2 lines from the end of the page. On Chav Zayin and Beis at Amar Rabba Bar Bechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Benumen, the exclusive for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumit Freida, for Sarah Freida Vaschaya, and for Dvorah Shira Chaya Vasin de Peril, they shall have a refuah shlema b'soch shar chole Yisrael. Today's daf is going to deal a lot with refuah, different refuahs that Chazal recommend for a variety of different ailments. So please have your art scrolls ready, because I don't know how to translate a lot of these things. So we're gonna try to work our way through a number of these refuahs. We're gonna start off with different types of makos that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for, and those that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for. What's considered a makos shel chalal? What's considered like an internal injury, which therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, and what's considered an external injury. The Gemara is going to discuss what the different refuos are for someone who has problems with their teeth, and whether tooth problems are necessarily something that one is allowed to be mechal Shabbos for. The Gemara is then going to discuss issues relating to the ears and how one could be merape chola relating to the ears. And then the Gemara is going to discuss different things relating to the eyes, and whether something that relates to the eyes is automatically considered to be pikuach nefesh, because somehow the eyes are connected to the heart. The Gemara is going to have this possibility as well. So we're going to talk mostly about the teeth, the ears, and the eyes, and different refuos for machlos. Along the way, we're going to have a story of an amora who was able to get someone to reveal a secret refuah for something by swearing to her that he's not going to reveal it to anybody else, and he does reveal it to other people, and we're going to have to discuss why that was allowed, why different steps of that story were allowed. But let's begin 2 lines from the bottom of the page. On Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava Bar Bechana Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Maka Shemechalin Aleh Shabbos Ein Misrapin Mehen. Any Maka that you could be Mechal Shabbos for, you're not allowed to go to an Ovid Kachavim to get refuah for. Meaning, because the Allah is, you can't go to an Ovid Kachavim for a Maka that relates to Pikuach Nefesh, where you could lose your life. So you can't go to for something that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for. The Ikada Amri Amar Rav that any maka that's bechalal gufo, that's an internal injury, that's not on the external part of the body, that's where you're not allowed to go to an ovid kachavim for refuah. Says Gemara, what's the nafkamina between the two formulations? Aren't they one and the same? Isn't every maka that you machal Shabbos a makal shel chalal, and every makal shel chalal a maka that you machal Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, ikabinayu gav hayad v'gav haregel. A maka that's on the back of the hand or the back of the foot would be the nafkamina between them. Da'am ravad bar masna amarav, gav hayad v'gav haregel, harei hein ki maka shel chalal u'machal d'nalein es ha-Shabbos. A maka on the back of the hand or the back of the foot, it is not actually a maka shel chalal, it's external, it's not internal, but it's treated like a maka shel chalal, and therefore you can be mechal Shabbos for it. So if you have the formulation that any maka that you mechal Shabbos, so you're not allowed to go to an ovid kachavim, then you wouldn't be allowed to go to an ovid kachavim for this either. But if you have the formulation that any maka shel chalal, you're not allowed to go to an ovid kachavim, this you would be permitted to go to an ovid kachavim for. As Rashi points out, gav hayad mechal and Shabbos afal pi she'enu shel chalal lishnakam. Misrapin, the first lashon would say you can't go, the second lashon would say you can. The whole umischazia ichazi de makalkaba lechichle lesama maviro, lechichle lesama maviro. Meaning Rashi has to deal with the obvious problem. Even if you're going to say that the formulation we had was any makas shel chalal, you're not allowed to go to them, but isn't the reason that you're not allowed to go to them for a makas shel chalal is because the stakes are so high, because it's dangerous? So if in our assessment, gav hayad and gav haregel is also dangerous, so why would it be mutter? Why, according to one lashon, would it be mutter to go to an ovid kachavim? So that's what Rashi explains. Now, the svar of makas shel chalal is that it's dangerous, and once it's treated, there's nothing you could do to untreat it. But something that's external, it's not, even if it's dangerous, but if it's not an external part of the body, whatever ointment, whatever they put on it, you can untreat it. You can remove that ointment. You can lick it off. It's the lashon Rashi used, but it's the lav dafka lick. You can wash it off, and therefore you would be allowed to go to an ovid kachavim if you see. And and Rashi didn't make this up, there is a case in the Gemara where we are going to see that this is exactly what happened when one of the Amoraim got a treatment that seemed to have a negative effect on him, that the Talmidim figured out a way to clean it off since it was on the external part of the body. Amarav Zutra Bartuvia Amarav, Kol Maka Shetricha Omed Mechalin Alas HaShabbos. Any Maka that you need to assess whether it's Pikuach Nefesh or not, as Rashi says, Shemusukenes Kol Kach, that it's so dangerous, Shetzarach Lando Yichya Mim Yamus, where someone is going to need to make an assessment, is this person going to live? Is this person going to die? So that's a Maka that you can be Mechal HaShabbos for. Amarav Shem Baraba Amarav Yochanan, Vahai Ishta Tzamirta, a certain type of a strong fever is considered like a makah shel chalal u'mechal in aleihas haShabbos, and therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to treat it. Mehechon makah shel chalal. Which part of the body do we consider to be the borderline between the outside and the inside of the body, where we would then say, okay, this is an internal injury, and therefore is by definition because it's an internal injury, a situation of sakana, which would have, again, two nafkaminas. Number one, that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it, and number two, that you're not allowed to go to an Ovid Kochavim to treat it. So, Pirush Rabbi Ami minasafa v'lifnim, from the lips and in, is considered an internal injury, meaning the entire inside of the mouth is an internal injury. Generally speaking, the body is divided into three parts. There is the galui, that which is always exposed. There's the balua, that which is never exposed, completely internal. And then there's the beis hastarim, parts of the body that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not. So you have such a concept when it comes to ilchus tuma v'tahara. But over here, there are only two sections of the body. There's shel chalal and there's bachutz. So where does like the beis hastarim fit? The inside of the mouth is the beis hastarim. It's normally that in between stage. Where does that fit? So certain beis hastarim is obviously the outside. The armpits, for example, is considered a beis hastarim in hilchos tuma, but over here it's obviously going to be considered an external part of the body because it's on the external skin. But what about the inside of the mouth? So the Gemara says the inside of the mouth is the inside of the body. And it likely is, because what the Gemara is about to make clear, that the defining characteristic of outside versus inside is moisture versus no moisture. Meaning if it's something is hard and is either hard bone or not moist, so that would be considered the outside of the body. But the inside of the body has a constant moisture, and also it's a little bit softer. So the mouth has the tongue and it's a constant moisture, so it's considered v'lifnim. By Reb Lazar, kachi v'shini mai. What about one's gums and teeth? Kivin da kushin inu kemaka da avroi dami? Odum la kivin da gavai kaimi kemaka shel chal dami? Do we say that since they are hard, they're like the outside part of the body? Or do we say, no, since they're inside your mouth, they're like the inner part of the body? So if you have a toothache, are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a toothache? So says Gemara, Amar Abaye Toshma, I'll bring you a raya. Hachoshish b'shinov liyigma behenes hachometz. If a person has a toothache, he's not allowed to swallow vinegar as a treatment to the toothache. So what's the diuk? So you would think the diuk is that you're not allowed to be merape shinayim. Says Gemara, no, the diuk is the opposite. Choshesh hu delo hakoiv leituva shapir dami. It's only if he's choshesh b'shinov, if he has a minor ailment in his teeth, that's what he's not allowed to treat on Shabbos. But if he's got a real pounding toothache, he's got a real problematic toothache, then he is allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it. That's what it sounds like. So says Gemara Dilma, Tana Hecha Dekoiv Leituva, Choshesh Nami Kari Le. That's not necessarily a great raya, because maybe the term Choshesh is a broad term that doesn't only refer to someone who has a minor discomfort. It refers to all sorts of discomfort. Minor discomfort, major pain. Either way, if it's in the teeth, it's not dangerous, and therefore you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So it's not a raya, just because he uses the term choshesh, that if it were a more significant pain, that you'd be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So Tashma says, well, I'll bring you another raya. Rabbi Yochanan chosh bitzavtina
Ozel gabe dehima trunisa. Rabbi Yochanan had a problem bit safdina, as Rashi says, choli hashinayim. He had some sort of tooth problem, so he went to a certain noblewoman, Avda, who was an expert in medicine apparently. Avda chamisha malishabata. She treated his illness on Thursday and Friday. Maybe there's a maramakom about going to a female dentist. Can a male go to a female dentist? Female go to a male dentist? So he went to a. I'm not saying that lahalacha. I'm just saying ha'ara. He went to this matronisa. She treated him on Thursday or Friday. The treatment was probably not the way a dentist treats a patient now with physical contact. It was preparing a medication for him to take. It was more like a pharmacist. As we're about to see, that's going to be clear in the Gemara. So I think Amale Lemachar Mai. So he said to her, Amar La. He said to her, Lemachar Mai. What am I supposed to do tomorrow? It's Shabbos and I can't come to you. Amale Lo Tzrichas. She says, don't worry, you'll be fine tomorrow. You already had 2 days of treatment. You're not going to need anything. Itzarichna Mai. He says that's very nice and reassuring. But what if I do? What if something happens? What if I'm not feeling well and I do need medicine? Amra, she says, okay, I'll reveal to you the secret recipe, but ishtavali delam megalus, you have to swear to me that you're not going to reveal it to anybody else, that it's a secret between me and you. So ishtavala, he swore to her, le'alaka di Yisrael lo maglina, by to the God of Israel, I will not reveal it. So Galile, so based on that swear, he took a shvuah to the God of Israel, he's not going to tell anyone. So Galile, she revealed to him the secret medicine. Lamachar nafak darsha pipirka. The next day on Shabbos, when he gave the public drasha on Shabbos, he went and the public drasha was about the refuah. He explained exactly what the refuah is in clear violation of the shvuah that he took to her. So asked the Gemara, how could he clearly violate a shvuah that he took? So the lakad Yisrael lo maglina avla amel Yisrael maglina. So no, he swore that he's not going to reveal it to the God of Israel, but he never swore that he wasn't going to reveal it to the people of Israel. So since he worded his shvur just so that he by using the God of Israel, so that left him an opening that he was able to reveal it to the people. Says the Gemara, come on, va'yikach chil Hashem. But isn't that a chil Hashem that he's going to go and reveal it? She doesn't understand that, right? As Rashi says, "Di'isavra ishtava vavra shvuase." As far as she's concerned, he violated his shvuah. How is she supposed to believe that he didn't violate his shvuah? Says Gemara, "De'galila meikara." As Rashi explains, "Mishasha gilsala amrla di'i shalonishbati v'lo amarti be'alaka di'Israel alaka elale alaka di'Israel." So he already told her as soon as she revealed to him what the medicine was. He explained to her why it would not be a violation of his shvua for him to reveal it. And then when he subsequently revealed it, it's not going to be a chil Hashem in the sense that she's going to think that he violates a shvua. It may not have been made her happy, but it's not going to be a chil Hashem in the sense that she thinks he violates a shvua. She's going to realize that she missed the nuance, that he didn't swear by the God of Israel. He swore that he's not going to tell it to the God of Israel. So he told it to the people of Israel, and that's not a violation of the Shuah. But bottom line is, all of this was over a tooth ailment. And who did he go to? He went to an Ovedas Kochavim to help him with a tooth ailment. So don't you see that it has a din of a makah shel chalal? Otherwise, you would not be allowed to go to an over there, to an akum to treat it. That particular type of ailment begins in the mouth, but it goes internal. It spreads internally in the body, and therefore has a status of a makah shel chalal. But not every tooth issue has a status of a makah shel chalal. How do you know if you have this ailment? So Rami midi be kavi umaisi dama mi be dari. If a person puts on the bekachi, if a person puts something in his teeth and then his gums start to bleed, so then he knows that he has this ailment. Mi mai havi, what is the cause of this illness? Mi kariri kiri dechiti mechami mechamiti desari umishire kasadarsna. Comes from cold wheat, hot barley, or the leftovers of kasa daharsana, a certain type of dip. My avdile, what do you do to treat it? Meaning, what did this matronisa teach him to do? Amr vacha b'redrava, mesa or v'shemen zayis umelach. They take mesa or shemen zayis and melach and salt. Marba Ravashi amar mashcha da avza, begadfa da avza. Marba Ravashi says they take fat of a goose and they apply it with a goose feather, and that way it's going to somehow stop the ailment. Amar Abai ana avdi kulu v'lo itzai. I did all of these things. I tried all of these refuos and it didn't work for me. Ada Amr li Ahutaya, I see Kashyasa Dezesa, the Lamala Tilsa, the Kalinu Amr Chadata, the Davik Bedidari, Abdi Hachi Vetsai. Until someone told me that there's a different trick, that you have to take the seeds of olives that are not one third grown and burn it on certain wool, on fresh wool, and attach it to and put it on the teeth. And I did that, and all of a sudden it worked. I had a refuah. So there's a different type of refuah that works, not the initial refuah that we suggested. So an interesting discussion in Rav Zilberstein's Chashuk Echemed relating to this story of the matronisa. He said that one time Rav Yashiv had the shayla where a woman was diagnosed with an illness, and she asked the doctor to keep it a secret, not to tell anybody. She got married. The marriage didn't work out so well. The husband wanted to get divorced. The Beis Din asked the doctor to let them know about the machla that she had, about the details of her machla. So the question is the shvuah that the rofe took, that the doctor took, is it chal? Or do you say no, that it's going to be mevatel, his mitzvah, hagadas edus? It's like a shvuah that a person's not going to sit in sukkah, or a shvuah that a person's not going to eat matzah, where you're nishba levatel is a mitzvah. A person's not allowed to be nishba levatel is a mitzvah. So Rav Yashiv says, so this is leaving out any din the malchus adina, and whether if all doctors violated the Hippocratic Oath, whether we would ever have Jewish doctors, and leaving out all the broader communal issues. On a narrow halachic level, is this considered a nishva levatel as a mitzvah? So Rav Yashiv raises the issue in our sugya that here you have Rabbi Yochanan suffered from this illness, and the Gemara says, how can you reveal the refuah? It's a violation of the shvuah. Says Rav Yashiv, what do you mean a violation of the shvuah? He has a mitzvah of hashivosilo, a mitzvah of hashavas haguf, that if someone is sick, you have to try to be merape v'chola. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tafayin Gimel, so maybe the whole shvuah never should have been chal in the first place. He was nishba levatel sa mitzvah. So the Gemara, why is the Gemara even bothered that how is he allowed to violate the shvuah? And we come up with a technicality. It wasn't a real violation of the shvuah. The shvuah was le'alacha di Yisrael. It was not la'am di Yisrael. You don't need any of that. The whole shvuah should never have been chal. So Rav Yashiv explained that this rule of ein nishba in lavar ala mitzvos means a person is not allowed to prevent himself from take a shvuah that prevents him from doing a mitzvah in which he is already chayiv. A person is already chayiv in all most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, but a person who doesn't know how to heal people is not chayiv to heal people. That's the famous comment of the Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses about becoming a doctor, and he says someone who's very bright and can theoretically become a very great doctor has no obligation to go to medical school. He has no obligation to become a doctor, to make that choice in his life. Once he goes, he has to heal people, that becomes his mitzvah, but he has no obligation to get to that point where he will be able to heal people. Since at the time that he made the shvuah in this Gemara, he did not yet know how to apply the refuah. It was not nishba levatel as a mitzvah because it wasn't his mitzvah yet. And that's why the Gemara doesn't assume that it's nishba levatel as a mitzvah. So Rav Zilberstein points out that there are other suggestions as to how to answer this question on why this shvuah mattered at all. For example, he says, if a person takes a shvuah that I'm never going to eat matzah, I'm not going to eat matzah on Pesach, I'm not going to eat matzah year-round. So the halacha is the shvuah schal. He's not letting matzah on Pesach either, because that's a shvuah bekolel. It includes more than just the mitzvah itself. It's only if he says, I'm not going to eat matzah on Pesach, that's where the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tav Pei Hei that it's going to be a problem. So it could be that Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not going to reveal this secret to anybody, not only to sick people who need this secret, even to healthy people. Well, there's no mitzvah to reveal it to healthy people. The mitzvah is only to reveal it to sick people. And mele, the shvuah should have been chal, and that's why the Gemara was bothered, that how was he allowed to take the Shavua. The other possibility Rav Silberstein suggests is that there's a mitzvah vashevosilo to be merape echolah, chazal darshan l'rabos hashavas gufo, that's a Gemara Sanhedrin daf ayin gimel. That mitzvah is when you know about a specific person who is ill. But when there's no chalul lefanenu, there's no mitzvah to be mefarsim berabim, the various treatments to different diseases, should there come a chola who has this, and then he'll be able to treat the illness. So if that's the case, maybe Rabbi Yochanan's Shavua is not a Shavua to violate a mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah to be malamed malachas hatrufos, to be malamed to teach people how to be a pharmacist in order to be merape cholim. The mitzvah is only for those who already know. That's a little bit difficult. Rabbi Yochanan was already himself suffering from this illness, although it seems like it had calmed down in his own body, that he had, by the time he got into square, that he was no longer actively suffering from this ailment. So anyway, so that is the case with when it comes to teeth. So it says the Gemara now. The Gemara goes back to discuss what Rabbi Yochanan, how Rabbi Yochanan was able to do this, forgetting about the Shavua. How is Rabbi Yochanan allowed to go to this woman who lechor was Navid Avod Zara in order to treat his ailment? So says more of Rabbi Yochanan Hechi Avodachi. How is Rabbi Yochanan allowed to do this? Rabbi Yochanan Kol Makas Shemachal Nolas Shabbos Ein Misrabi Mehen. I thought any makah that you machal Shabbos, that you're allowed to be machal Shabbos for, it's dangerous enough to be machal Shabbos for, you're not allowed to be misrapi from Ovdei Kochavim. So how can you go for this tooth ailment to Novedes Kochavim? Says more Adam Chashuv Shaini. No, he's different because he's an Adam Chashuv, and the guy is afraid to kill an Adam Chashuv. That's why Rabbi Yochanan was allowed to go. He was a unique case. Rabbi Avod Adam Chashuv Hava, says Gemara, yeah, does that always work? But Rabbi Avod happened to have been an Adam Chashuv. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph that when he would come from the Beis Medrash to the Beis HaKesar, the Shvachos of the Kesar would go out to greet him, and they would sing in front of him, Rabba Da Ameh, Mad Barna Du Masay, Butzina Du Nahura, Brach Masiyach L'Shalem. They would sing how he's the master of his people, he's a leader, and he should be Baruch in his coming. So that obviously he was an Adam Chashuv. That's what we know about Rabbi Avahu. And nevertheless, for Ramale Yaakov Minah Sama Asake, a certain Rofe Apikores whose name was Yaakov applied some sort of refuah, some sort of sam as a refuah to his thigh. And if not for the fact that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi were there to clean it off of his thigh and to get rid of that medication, it would have crippled him, because he was trying to destroy him, not to heal him. So don't tell me that by an Adam Chashuv they're going to do a proper treatment. You see, an Ovid Chavim did not do a proper treatment even for an Adam Chashuv. Memela, we're back to the question of Rabbi Yochanan. How is Rabbi Yochanan allowed to go to that Matronisa? So says Gemara, no, Rabbi Yochanan Rofi Mumchava. The one that Rabbi Yochanan went to was a Rofe Mumcha, and that would have ruined her entire profession if she would have ruined him. The Rabbi Avo Nami Rofe Mumcha, so says Gemara, why? You think Rabbi Avo was going to some quack? Rabbi Avo was also going to a Rofe Mumcha, so it didn't seem to help him. Says Gemara, no, Shiny Rabbi Avo, Dumukmi Beimine Benafshayu, Thomas Nafshi Implishim. Rabbi Avo was such an adversary of the Apikorsim that they used to apply the principle to him of Thomas Nafshi Implishim. They were ready to destroy themselves if they could just bring him down as well, because he used to cause them all sorts of trouble. He used to debate them, Rashi says, and he would be mitzar them with the Mikraos, with Psukim, and he'd have explanations that would always make them look foolish. So that's why Rabbi Avo was not, that's why they were willing to kill Rabbi Avo. But in a typical case where it's a Rofe Mumcha, you don't assume that they'd be willing to stake their entire reputation on it and to mistreat a patient. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yerdei Chelek Dalid. Simen Ches, where a person has a choice between two doctors. One is a Shomer Torah, but is not such a great doctor. And the other, who is not a Shomer Torah, is a Kofer B'Torah, but he's a really good doctor. So which doctor should you choose? So Rav Moshe writes, once the Torah tells us that Tzmuta L'Rope L'Rapos V'Rapo Yerape, Chazal tells us in Brachos V'Bekama, Mikan Shenitna L'Rope Rishos L'Rape, and according to the Rambam and Rov Rishonim, the Ramban and Torah Svadim, the Ran, the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Chiyuv. So he says, of course you go to the better doctor, even if he's a Kofer. Aye, what about our Sugya, don't go to the Avodah Zarah? He says, yeah, Bizmana Gemara was asked to go to Avodah Zarah because they were Chashal Shvichos Damim. But he says, nowadays no one's trying to kill you. There's no concern of Shvichos Damim, meaning that's the Heter L'chara of Rofi Mumcha, that of course he's not going to do anything like that. And he says, Adrabba, you see the Raya from the Gemara, that they went to Avodah Zarah when it was a situation of Rofi Mumcha, when there was no concern of Avodah Zarah. He says, if you can go to a doctor who's a Mesis and Madiach, and through his treatment of you, he's going to try to be Mesis and Madiach, then in a Chinami, you can't go to such a doctor. But he says he doesn't know of any such doctors. That even a doctor in his private life may be someone who believes in all sorts of apikorsis. He's a professional. When he treats patients, he treats patients. So Meshe says he doesn't think that any of this is nogea to our time and place. So once the Gemara deals with toothaches, so the Gemara discusses other types of refuos, and the Gemara tells us as follows. Amr Shmuel, hai padata sakantihi. If a person has like a stab wound, it's very dangerous. Umachalin alas Shabbos, and you can be machal Shabbos for it. So maya susa, how do you treat it? Lemifsuk tamas, so first thing you need to do is to stop the bleeding. In order to stop the bleeding, tachle b'chala, you have to put some vinegar on, give some vinegar to drink, I think, la suke, and in order to have the flesh heal, girda diavla v'girda da'asana, you put in the bandage certain types of herbs and grasses, onikra mikalkalta, or worms that a tarnagol would be able to peck out of the ashpa, and that's somehow that has healing powers. You put that in the bandaging, and the flesh will heal much more quickly. Amr of Safra, high in visa, a person who has a certain boil that looks like a little grape in the way that it appears on the skin, parvanka de malach de mosahi, it is a shliach of the malach amavis, meaning that is a dangerous thing and it's going to develop into a much worse illness. So my asusa, what is the refua for this thing? So tigna, you take a certain type of esev, biduvsho, in honey, o karpiso, or you take karpas, which is a type of vegetable, as we know from the Seder, machlok is what type of vegetable, betilia, and you put it in a certain type of very strong wine. Adahachi bahachi, and while you're preparing that refua, while you're putting together the refua that's necessary, so in the meantime, you have to make sure that it doesn't get worse. So lesi invisabasmina, you bring a grape that looks similar to the grape that to the size of the boil itself, vinigandri lave, and you rub it on the boil, chivarti lichivarti. If the boil is white, you take a white grape, vukamti lukamti. If the boil is black, you take a black grape and you rub it on the ailment. Amarava, high simta. If you have a certain swelling or something like that, parvanka da shasihi. It's a beginning of the fever. It's caused by a fever, and it's a simen for that broader disease called ashasa. Maya susa. So how do you treat it? Lamache shitin skatule. You hit it 60 times. You tap on it 60 times. Vilkari shasivari. And then you tear it open in a crisscross fashion. Shiva the erev. The hani mili, and that idea of hitting it 60 times, delo chiver reshe. It's only if it hasn't already turned white. Avol chiver reshe. But if it's turned white, less than by. You're not going to need to do the tapping 60 times because it means that it's already, the pus is already ready to come out. If it's all white, and then all you need to do is remove the pus, and that's going to be the refua. You're not going to need to do anything further. So the Gemara is now going to discuss other types of refuah. Rabbi Yaakov chash bipikah. He had an ailment an anal element. Orile Rabbi, I think that's what it is. Orile Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami said that here's what you do. Barmila Rabbi Asi Orile. Some say it wasn't Rabbi Ami, it was Rabbi Asi. They're often confused for each other. We often have such girsos where it's either Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Asi, because they were also not only did they have similar names, they were also in the same place at the same time. So they're in Talmidim of the same people. So it's understandable that they would be confused for each other. So he said, Lesi Shev Benia Achalatolana, he should bring seven red seeds that are red like talas shani from a certain type of plant, vitsayule bechalala de betzavara, and wrap it in a piece of cloth that is made out of the cut that you make in a shirt when you make the neck hole of a shirt, the lichruchilave nira barka, and wrap around it a string that's made from the hair of an animal, the tamishle benatva chivra velikle, and dip it in some type of something, and burn it in fire, ubadale lave, and then you spread it over the maka, adahachi vahachi, and while you're preparing all that, lesikashisidasani, you bring seeds of a certain fruit, lenach pika lahade pika, and you put it on the opening in order that that it should keep it from getting worse in the meantime. But that's only the external part of the bodily opening. But pika tasa'a, the internal part of the bodily opening, mai, what do you do if that's where the element is? Laisi tarbet safir to the lo yiftach, you have to bring the fat of a goat that has not yet given birth, vilifasha vilishtile, and you boil it up, and then you put it on the wound, the ilo, and if you don't have the ability to find that element, laisi tras tarfa kara to find that refua. So laisi tras tarfa kara dimiyavshi betula. You bring three leaves of a gourd that was dried in the shade. Velikli veliv deri lavein. You burn it and you spread it over the makah. Ve'ilo. And if you don't have shade dried gourd leaves, some people might not. Laisi meshakti chalzone. So then you bring a certain type of chilazon. You burn that, and chilazon normally means a snail, a certain type of snail. It's a Semitic word in Arabic and in Hebrew means a snail. And you burn that, and you put it on the makam of the makah. V'ilo maisi meshach kira. And if you don't have a chilazon, you should bring a certain type of a mixture of olive oil and wax that are mixed together, and you put that on the makah. V'linkot b'shachki d'chitna b'kaita, and you cover it in worn out flax if it's in the summertime, and that way it won't overheat. Udamar gufna b'sitfa, and if it's in the wintertime, you take cotton which is warmer, and you cover the wound that way so that the wound doesn't get too cold. So you have to keep the temperature of the wound at a stable temperature, and that's how you would dress the wound based on whether it's summertime or whether it's wintertime. Okay, more refua. Rabbi Avohu chash b'udnei. Rabbi Avohu had an ear problem. Orle Rabbi Yochanan va'amile be'midrash. Rabbi Yochanan, some say it was just a shmu in the base medrash that had a treated. My orile. So what was the treatment? Ki adam rabbi amrli aim. Abaye reported that the treatment was taught to him by aim. Aim was the woman who raised Abaye. It's not his birth mother. His mother died when he was first born. As Gemara Kiddushin says, Rabbi never had the nisayon of kibbutz ave'im, and he was grateful that he never had the nisayon of kibbutz ave'im, because he felt that the standards are so high of what one has to do to fulfill kibbutz ave'im that he never would have been able to be omid b'nisayon. So whenever he quotes aim, it's not his actual mother, it's the woman who raised him. So he said, lo ibri, so he said in her name, and he quotes it from time to time, lo ibri kulyasa el lu'udna. The kidney of a behema was only made to treat earaches, meaning that's what it's there for. V'amar Rava Amrli Minyome Asya, Minyome, the doctor said, Kula Shakyana Kashulu Udna. All different drinks are bad for the ears, Levarmi Mayu de Kulyasa, except for the juice of the, or for lack of a better term, the liquid that comes from the kidney of an animal. Laisi Kulyasa Debarcha Karcha, they should bring the kidney of a bald goat, meaning that doesn't grow wool or anything, V'lekari Shasivari Ve'eriv, and they should tear it open in a crisscross fashion, V'lina Chamlal Dinora, and they should put it on boiling coals, Vahanu Maya Dinafki Minei, and the liquid that comes out from it, Lishtinu Bu'udnei, they should put it in a person's ear, Lo Kariri, Tiri, not when it's cold, Lachamimi, and not when it's hot, El Pshore, but rather when it's an in-between temperature. V'ilo, and if you can't find the kidney of a goat that doesn't have hair, Laisi Tarba de Chipushta Gamalnisa, you should bring the fat of a certain type of animal, v'livsha v'lishtibe, and he should melt it down and put it in the ear. V'ilon, if he doesn't have that either, l'mali lunya mishcha, he should put oil in his ear, v'levit shav silta dispasta, and he should prepare 7 long leaves of shachas, v'leise shufta detuma, and he should bring the stalks of garlic, v'leise barka b'chad resha, and he should put a string from the animal hair on one end of the shachas and the garlic, v'litli bunura, and he should light it on fire. So while that end is lit on fire, he should put the other end in his ear, and he should put his ear near the fire, and be careful that no wind blows by the ear at that time, and he should take from one ear and put it and put a leaf inside and replace it, and that's what he does with the other leaves of the shachas until he finishes with all the 7 leaves. Lishna Achrina, another tradition of what to do about the earache, the ilo, that if he doesn't have the previously suggested refuos, Laisiv Shav Psilta Bikra, he should bring 7 wicks of a string that's made from the hair of an animal, Vishayifle Mishcha Da Aspasta, and he should rub it with Shemen Aspasta, with a certain type of oil, Vinaisi Chadre Shabinura, take one of the wicks and put one in a fire, one end in a fire, v'chadre shabudna, and the other end in his ear, v'nishkal chada v'nana chada, and he should take that out of his ear and put the next wick in his ear, and he should do that with all the wicks until he finishes all of the 7 wicks, v'izdar mizik, and he should be careful that no wind blows near the ear, because at that point, because it could be dangerous, v'ilo, and if he doesn't have any of those refuos, laisi udra dinada, he should bring a certain cloth that's colored like tcheles, delom mashkif, that is not beaten, v'nanachba, and put it in as a stuffing in the ear, v'litle l'udne l'hadinura, and he should put his ear near a fire, umizdar mizik, and also there he has to be careful that there's no wind in the area, v'ilo, and if he doesn't have that possibility, laisi guvsa dekanya atika bar me'ashnin, he should bring a reed that is hollowed out, that was detached 100 years ago, v'milche milch, and you should put salt that comes from a certain rock, v'likle, and you should burn the salted kana, v'lidbak, and you should attach that the ashes to his ear. The simanach, and the way to remember how to get it straight is retiva liyabesha viyabesha liretiva. Those refuos that are from oil and from the internal organs of an animal, these kinds of things, that's normally for a dry ailment in the ear, and those refuos that are dry are to treat a wet ailment in the ear. There are different types of earaches and ear problems that a person may have. Amar Rab Bar Zutra, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Malin Oznayim B'Shabbos. Someone who has some sort of problem with his ears is allowed to lift up the parts of the ears on Shabbos because it's Sakonis Nefashos. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yudah B'Yad Avlo B'Sam. You can only do it by hand, but not with medication. Ikeda Amri B'Sam Avlo B'Yad. Others say no, the opposite. My Taima Mizruf Zarif, because when you do it by hand, you're going to be making a chabura, and that's a violation of the Melacha of Chovel, which is a told of shochet, as opposed to if you take a medication, what? That's a gezeira, shchika salmanim. That would only be an issur drabanan. So it says Gemara Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Amrav. Ayin shemardin. Now we move from the ear to the eye. A person has an eye that looks like it's going to pop out. Mutal kochala, you're allowed to put chol in it on Shabbos, which is an eye ointment. B'Shabbos, savra minei hanimili hu deshachki samana me'atmal. That's only if you prepared it from the day before. Al mishkok b'Shabbos la'asuya derek rishus rabim. But to prepare it on Shabbos, bring it through rishus rabim. Lo, that I would think is usher to do. So amar luhu. So those who heard Rav Zutra said amar luhu. Rabban Rav Yaakov Shmei l'dim farshi minei Rav Yehu. Yehuda, afilu mishkach b'Shabbos asu yidar kushasram mutter. They're even allowed to prepare it on Shabbos and bring it through Rosh Hashanah. It's all mutter. It's sakharas nefashos when you have an eye problem. Rav Yehuda shari l'michaleinu b'Shabbos. Rav Yehuda allowed treating the eye on Shabbos. Amar lo Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, me'ayin sais, man sais lo Yehuda. Who's going to listen to Rav Yehuda and treat this refuah? Machal Shabbi, who's mechalal the Shabbos with doing such a thing. L'sof chash be'enei, and ultimately Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda himself suffered from that eye problem. Shalach le, so Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda sent to Rav Yehuda, Shari Awasar, am I allowed to treat this on Shabbos or not? So Shalach le, Rav Yehuda sent back to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, L'kuli al Mashari. Everybody else is allowed to treat it on Shabbos because they understand that it's Bikoach Nefesh. But L'didach Asar, you who already paskin that this isn't Bikoach Nefesh, and therefore that I'm Mechal Shabbos for treating it, so you're not allowed to treat it. V'chi Mididiyu, why, you think I made this up on my own? Demar Shmuel he. This was the Shita of Mar Shmuel. Hayam Sadavai Bei Mar Shmuel. There was a Shivcha in the house of Mar Shmuel, the Kadchalein of Shabbata, who had an eye problem on Shabbos. Savcha, she was screaming, but no one paid any attention to her. Paka Eina, her eye was going to become blinded and fall out. Lamachar, Nafak Mar Shmuel Vidarash. Ayin Shemar, the Mutter, Lekochot Shabbos. So the next day, Mar Shmuel went out publicly and said, you're allowed to treat an eye problem on Shabbos because it's dangerous. My timer, why is an eye problem dangerous? The Shuyana De'ina, but Uvanta De'liba Talu. Somehow the eye and the heart are connected. So just like the heart is inherently a dangerous thing, so too any eye problem is dangerous. That's a question. There's a Tosfos in Masech HaSukkah that says that Sakanas Eiver is Docha Shabbos. So there's a question in the Girsan, the Sukkah Chavav, whether it's Sakanas Ayin or Sakanas Eiver, because he references Avodah Zarah, Dav Chavchas, sounds like it's only Sakanas Ayin. Kugon Mai, what sort of ailment in the eye are we talking about? Amrav Yuda, Kugon Rira, if there is a pus that comes out of the eye, a Ditsa, or a stabbing kind of feeling in the eye, Dama, or there's blood in the eye, Dimasa, or it's constantly tearing, Kidcha, or there's heat in the eye, Tchilas Uchla, is the beginning of, and that's at the beginning of the Choli that he's experiencing these things, that's dangerous. La Fuke Sof Uchla, Patsucheena Delo, as opposed to if it's coming at the end of his illness, someone who wants, or someone who's just looking to improve their vision, that would not be considered something that's that you can be Mechal Shabbos for. But the other things you can be Mechal Shabbos for as they relate to the eye. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.